This is an ABC podcast. Resorts, homes and the newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream.
You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Bulurinaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared. This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster.
Through stories and Talanoa from the Pacifica.
On today's show, coconut trees are losing ground and women are heading deeper into the sea. This is the reality Ngaranibwai villages are going through right now. Stay tuned.
And when you're in the middle of a natural disaster, things can be quite different, confusing and confronting as well. But sometimes the one thing that can give you that little bit of hope and stability is maybe just a voice from the radio. More on that soon.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Pacific Prepared this week. Fred, it's glad to have you back on the show. Last week...
Joe, you don't need me, Joe.
I know, but we managed to pull things and put things, according to plan and in order last week with our good friend from the Solomon Islands, Jeremy Guo. It was really fun and interesting as well, co-hosting with Mr. Guo. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tomas, for always, on standby and be prepared, always prepared to come on board when and where applicable.
He really does live and breathe the Pacific Prepared brand, doesn't he, Jeremy Guo?
Yes.
Thank you too much, yes. Jeremy. Great job last week. Thank you so much.
Renaka.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Today, let's look into a story that really hits at the heart of what climate change actually looks like, especially for communities on the ground. When we talk about, when I say that, I mean it's not just talking about or generating ideas about the melting ice caps and rising temperatures. It's about everyday life being disrupted, sometimes in ways we don't even imagine.
Yeah, and in this case, we're actually heading to Ngaranibwai village where something as simple but also as vital as fishing has changed dramatically and drastically. And here's what's interesting. It's not just about fish moving or ocean temperatures rising. It's about people, especially women, having to adapt in ways that they never have before.
Exactly, Fred. So traditionally, women in this community didn't go far out into the sea to fish. That was just like wasn't part of their role. But now, with fish stocks moving further offshore, they are stepping into deeper waters.
Yeah, it's a pretty powerful shift, and it says a lot about resilience, but also about the pressure climate change is putting on gender roles, tradition, and even food security, Joe.
And we spoke to someone who's lived through all of this. Her name is Vika from Ngaranibwai village. She gives us a first-hand look at what's actually changing, what's being lost, and how the community is trying to hold on.
It's a story of adaption, but a warning at the same time, because if these changes are already happening in this village, what does it mean for the rest of us? Joe, where did you actually meet this person, by the way?
In Madhuata.
Madhuata. And so what were you like by the waterfront? Did you meet her there or something? Or
we were actually, we had the interview at the porch of a house. And the porch is like right next to the beach.
Oh, yeah.
So it was quite windy and we can actually see what's...
how they're being affected.
Yeah. So...
yep. And so that's like her main kind of source of income is fishing, is that right?
It's their source of livelihood.
And so like it's right on the doorstep.
Right at the doorstep.
Right on the doorstep too.
They rely heavily on the wealth from the ocean or the sea to sustain them. So now they are experiencing a depleting number of catches, the amount of the sizes, and even going further to catch fish.
Bolovinaka, my name is Vika Elder. I'm originally from Karokotunua, the Kundrove, but I'm currently married here in the beautiful village of Ngarnivai. And recently, I'm just a domestic deity. I'm just a house mom doing house chores.
So the village is located next to the coast, and we can already see some evidence of the rising tides. For example, we can now see the roots of coconut trees shown or being exposed. Eh? Just talk about the reality, what's actually happening as a result of the rising sea level.
Most of the changes that been happening in our shores is most of the sands have been during rainy seasons or high tide, like rising of sea level, has been drifting away all our sands to the sea. So our plants that have been growing around our seashores has been showing up their roots, so... we can just say that it's all part of climate change. And if there's something that could be done that can prevent the soil erosion or the less sea level rise or do something to, maybe it can help the villages and help the villages to prevent climate change in occurring into the village.
So when you say plants along the coast, you mean to say that the villages have already planted mangroves as well?
That's a current project that we'll be doing the whole of this year. So we've been planning on planting more mangroves and to prevent, to do some preventing of soil erosion next to the sea. So we've been planning to plant mangroves onto our sea lines and seashores.
So how soon can that be implemented?
Very soon, very soon. I can just say it's very soon. We've been planning throughout last year. It's our project that was supposed to be done early this year, but due to some changes, so we've been waiting for the... because we've been doing the project with the NGO, so we're waiting for them to come down, and then it depends on how fast they come or how fast the sponsors do their work, and then so the project will continue from there.
Just talk about some of your experience, some of your experiences at the height of some of the worst tropical cyclones you've ever come across.
For the basic knowledge of what I've experienced, it's very challenging. Like most of the time, it's challenging for us because we don't hardly have any evacuation center here. So we don't have any evacuation center. So it's hard for families to come across, when they come across disaster or cyclone. It's very challenging for them because we don't have any evacuation center. So during cyclone seasons, all families knows they know what to do and then how to keep their families safe. So like, so we are used to it. So even though there's no damages, or like, I mean, there are damages for houses and stuff, but from villagers getting hurt, no. So the only thing if we thinking of, if we about the evacuation center, so if we have an evacuation center, it will be much more better.
That sentiment clearly depicts the resilience of these villagers. They know what to do before, during, and after a disaster. But more awareness, more is still needed, especially the need to build a proper and standard evacuation center. And I believe the village is already making plans to fundraise and start with the construction of a new evacuation center.
Yes, we've been working on to it, and we've been planning more and more about our evacuation center and housing improvements of the oldies, especially for them, for a safer place to live in for the next disaster to come or climate change that's occurring in our Fiji. Yeah.
In some parts of Fiji, I've received some feedback or comments that some of the women are facing challenges about harvesting some wealth from the sea or from the ocean. Seaweed, sea grapes, even fish. Sometimes they have to go offshore to have a good catch. And they, some of them, they claim that they are also experiencing a warming ocean or sea that's also contributing to coral bleaching and the reduction in the number of these marine species. Is this also the case for Garnibay?
Yes, I think for most of the villages next to the sea, this is all the damages that's been occurring during disasters and climate change. It all happens throughout the villages. So all women are facing the same problem throughout Fiji. For them, especially when they have to go harvest in the sea for money making. So it's hard for them to go for a far distance to collect money, because for us women, we have children behind, so we have families behind. So going for a far distance for money making, it's a great, big challenge for us, because we have to think of the family, and then we have to think of something that have to keep our family surviving.
There might be some Garnibay villages who are listening in right now from right across Australia, the Pacific, and even in some parts of Fiji. You know, your message to the Garnibay villages who are listening in right now, and also your message to other women out there about the need to stand up, be strong, and be resilient in the face of climate adversities.
I'd like to take this time, if for all those who will be listening to this, especially to the villagers who knows you are originally from Garnibay, I'd like to be grateful for your listening. If any support you could do to help the villagers and the village, it would be a great help to us and for all those women who's been facing troubles, who's going through hardship. Just like to encourage us all to be strong and to have to motivate. Let's motivate other women to be strong enough to survive. I mean, to work hard and do better for whatever we can do for the betterment for our families, Vinaka, and community and the villages, Vinaka.
Thank you so much for your time. And that was Vika Elder, one of the women here at Garnibay Village in the district of Ndongutuki, the province of Madwata, one of the 14 provinces here in Fiji.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepare.
sometimes during a disaster, everything is happening at once. People are worried you might be sheltering in a strange place.
And of course, you might have the weather to deal with as well. Heavy rain, strong winds.
So sometimes it can be the simple things that bring a little bit of normality. Things like the radio.
So let's make it sound like we're on a little radio right now, Joe. It's those familiar voices that can help you before, during, and after a cyclone or a disaster of any kind.
Yes, absolutely. And we are not trying to be, you know, to big note ourselves here. I think a lot of credit has to go to the people behind those mic and this console, the broadcasters, like Kitione Mokofisi. Let's go back to normal now.
Kitione is a Tongan broadcaster, and he spent hours behind the microphone.
And he's felt the pressure of making sure people are informed during disaster. I can relate. I can relate what he was talking about, the pressure among us people in this field, just to ensure that whatever information, the advice that we talk about on radio, on air, is accurate, verified information, and is delivered in a way that will be, that is easy and will be better understood by our listeners. What do you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. It's a strange feeling, actually, when you're on air during a disaster of any kind, I reckon. I mean, personally, I feel nervous and I feel anxious when I'm doing it as well. How about you? How do you feel when you're doing that emergency broadcasting?
Yes. When I first started, that was the same feeling that I had. But after months and a year of, doing it and familiarizing myself with the correct terms, the wind direction, the type of information that we issue on radio, the information, the concrete technical terms issued by relevant authorities, the weather office in Nandi here in Fiji and the National Disaster Management Office. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Knowing that thousands of people are out there from communities in villages are all listening in to you.
Yeah, sure.
You will be the one who will give them the advice on what to do next.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's quite a huge role and responsibility, but we also need to up our game and maintain the standard of giving out those advice in times of disaster, even before, during, or after any disaster.
Yeah. Mm. Joe, you're such a professional. And you're so prepared by the sounds of it as well, getting your house in order and then going to work. Incredible.
And I'm not
I need you in a disaster.
And I'm not surprised that I ended up in this program, Pacific Prepared. Always
be
prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Thanks, Joe. Well, let's take a listen.
Right.
Hello, I'm Kitione Maire Mokofisi. Since 1975, I've been involved in bilingual broadcasting here in Tongan, in English and into Tongan. I consider myself an
a veteran.
Yes. A veteran.
How many hours behind the microphone do you reckon you've done?
Well, I do 4 to 5 hours at night, working alone on FM 87.5 here in Gualofa.
Yeah.
So I do that on Wednesday night and Saturday night, and it's all done bilingually, in English and in Tongan. And I enjoy it. To me, it's not the money that matters. It's what I like to do,
So when you say that it's bilingual, obviously two languages, but how are you doing that? Are you switching between English and Tongan?
Switching back, especially whatever I play, like rock music and all of that, I do the introduction either in English or in Tongan, and I fill up there at the end.
Can you give me an example now? Say you come in and you maybe back announce a song for me right now?
Yeah? Yes. Hoek Muhammad Abu ni kata kela, tapi kau tahu kan? Soal si kau ni tahu kau tu kaya hitam ini, kau style mama ni, kau pitolo meja me Britania. Tapi hilbe kau ya, tahu hiki mana bagi Amerika kita me aku na iloi Amerika kau doors, you know, you know. But when I do that, I have to bring in something that is normally not available, you know, throughout, like the Doors. I said, I hear a lot of problems with a song called Light My Fire. just the wording of it, eh?
Yeah. I guess along with back announcing and announcing songs like from the 60s and 70s and that kind of era, 80s as well probably, have you been on air while there's been natural disasters happening? Have you experienced that side of broadcasting too?
When I was with the Tonga Broadcasting Commission, you know, way back 1982, we had Isaac, eh? You know,
cyclone.
Yeah, cyclone. And that was a mean. That was a really mean.
So, what were you doing during that cyclone?
Well, I got called up to come in and fill in, and you know, especially when it is almost like 24 hours delivery to the you know, the public. You know, both English and in Tongan.
And do you remember when the cyclone actually struck as well? Where were you?
I was at home. Then nobody at that time, they would say, you got to get, you know, especially if there is a national issue, you got to let us know where you're going to be. So you have to let them. So they'll call you up and say, if you have time, come on over, fill in until the morning, you know. And that's exactly what we did, you know. Yeah? But I left Tonga Broadcasting in 2019, after being there since 1975. Yeah.
When there is a natural disaster, what is your kind? Well, what was your role with TBC back when you were working with them? Like, what were you doing exactly? Going on air and telling people what was going on?
Telling them exactly where it's coming from and how much longer that the scientists are saying, how much longer it's going to hang around with you.
And but doing that bilingually as well?
Yes. I still can remember one, you know, in 82, you know, when, well, he's dead now, you know, Tamake. He was our general manager, you know. When, you know, he came, I was yakking away in English and in Tongan. Then he came and called me over and said, he wanted to get on the air, being the general manager. And I said, no problem. Then I just introduced him. He got on it. Yeah.
And do you kind of feel a sense of pressure doing that job when you're trying to tell people what's happening about around cyclone?
It's, to me, it's high pressure. Yeah. Really, really high pressure. Especially when you know you yourself, your family, you are working on there and your family are listening. Yeah. And only your relatives out there, you know, out in the bush. Yeah. Same through, they go through the same process. Yeah. But we are very lucky this year. See, the cyclone season should be slowly fade out. It's April. It's April. And there hasn't been a blow.
There's been a few tremors, earthquakes.
Oh, earthquake, that's a different story. I was at, you know, if I could happen, I think it was 1:30. Yeah, 1:30. I was reading. When it was shaking, I was shaking. Then my wife started saying, she was in the living room. She said, Kitione, where are you? And I said, I'm here in my room. And I live alone in our bedroom because I filled my room with books. And she moved on to the living room. But it was shaking. And I thought it was maybe about 2 or 3 on this Richard scale. But later on, they told me it was over 7. And I said, oh, wow. If it stayed on for one more minute, I don't know what will happen. But I recall we had one in 1977.
An earthquake?
Earthquake, big one. And in almost all the government buildings over here, they got shaken, broken, the whole lot. I still can remember that. Eh? 1977, that's the worst earthquake that I ever experienced. The one that happened just you know, couple of weeks ago. Yes, he was really shaky, but it was all right. It's less than 2 minutes.
So what happens now for you in radio? Are you going to ever decide to give it up? Do you think you could?
No, I don't think I will, you know. I'm lucky because radio station look, they find me. And they keep on asking me if I want to, you know, some time with them. And I don't recall any particular time when I applied for it. Yeah. They, you know, it's always they ask me for voice test, like the BBC. Yeah. And as soon as the BBC, the 10 minutes voice test goes on, you know, they keep on asking me, you want to work now? So I just keep on, you know. But I recall 1975, that's when I got on Radio Tonga. Yeah.
And it's still going now.
Yeah, I'm not on Radio Tonga, but I, you know, in the other.
Still, you're still on the radio, though.
Yes. I don't know, but I probably hope that we get some, you know, something more modern, you know, the way that we're doing our broadcasting here in Tonga. But I think it's slowly coming. Yeah.
Malo Pito.
Malo au Pito. Thank you for the time.
Malo. And thanks to Kitione Mokofisi, a current broadcaster in Tonga, but also a former long-time broadcaster with Tonga Broadcasting Commission, or TBC.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Ending another episode or Pacific Prepared program this week, the first half of the year we've had so far, the places we've visited, the stories we've heard and recorded, the Tala Noa, and so today we continue the journey from Motuwata, the province of Motuwata here in Fiji, northern part of Fiji, Ngaraniwai village, as well as a little bit of Tala Noa we had with a fellow broadcaster in the Kingdom of Tonga.
Thank you so much for your help again, Joe. It's been great. Good to be back on Pacific Prepared.
You're most welcome, Fred. And I'm glad that you're back in your own space now. So I'll talk to you again next week, same time, same place. Until then, Vinaka Wakalebu, Nisa Mothe.
Thank you so much, Joe. Vinaka.
Pacific Prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania, also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josina Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.
In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favourite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.